The Pharisees tried to entrap the Lord by bringing the woman taken in adultery and trying to trap Jesus into saying it was okay to stone her. And of course, Jesus, as he always did with his righteousness and knowing hearts, was able to turn that around. And then we saw how he introduced his person as the great I Am, which we'll talk more about tonight. But we saw the 12 I Ams of the Gospel of John. And as he said there in verse 24, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If you're not willing to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Then he took some time to define discipleship for us. And we looked at that in detail, Christ's definition of being a true follower of the Lord. And then he talked about how the truth shall make you free. And what a blessed thing that is for us. And then, of course, last week he then finished putting the nail in the coffin for the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father the devil. And explained that all unbelievers are not children of God. They are children of the devil. Hence why they need salvation through the Lord. Now tonight he finishes the chapter by again correcting the Pharisees about their misunderstanding that being a Jew was enough to get them to heaven. And then making it abundantly clear that he is Jehovah. So beginning in verse 45, where we finished last week, the Bible says, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So before Abraham was, I am. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach us. Thank you for the privilege to open it in the middle of the week and to learn from you and allow you to work miracles in our hearts through your powerful word. We just pray the Holy Ghost would guide us in truth tonight and Christ would be magnified through this message. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Jesus here, remember they said, we be not born of sin earlier last week. And now Jesus says in verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? In other words, you Pharisees are trying to accuse me of sinning and of even being born of sin. Remember last week they talked about this. Jesus is making it clear that he is sinless. Now there can only be one sinless one. Amen. And that's the Lord himself. So he said in 55, you've not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He's saying, you guys are the ones that are the liars. I'm telling the truth. Jesus never was trying to win a popularity contest. I think you figured that out here in John chapter 8. I mean, he called them whited sepulchers. Now he says their father's the devil. Now he's calling them liars. He's just telling them the truth. But sometimes the truth is not what we want to hear. But the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ never sinned. Amen? Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. If he had, then his death on the cross could not have been sufficient for us. He would have had to have died for himself. But praise God, he is sinless and was sinless. And as he says here in verse 47, if you were of God, you would hear me. But he says, you're not of God. And he's already made that clear. Verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. They're not of God. And an unsaved person is not of God because they're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 and 3:23. And sin, of course, brings judgment. And that's what Christ is trying to explain here. He says, verse 48, the Jews answered and said, say we not well that thou hast art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. So Jesus has now said, ye are sinners, you're liars, you're not of God, the devil's your father, and there is a judge. You will face judgment. Whenever we present the gospel to people, this is where we begin, isn't it? With sin. That we're sinners and that there's a consequence for our sin, which is the judgment of God, which is to be punished forever in hell. Jesus Christ came to take care of that for us. Amen? Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now Jesus begins to explain that through salvation in Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. And if we receive eternal life, we will never die. They did not understand what that meant, did they? Because they were seeing life and death only from the physical. And in the Bible, life and death rarely is talking about the physical. It's usually talking about the spiritual. That's what God meant when he told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat thereof, what? Thou shalt surely die. Did they die physically the day they ate of the fruit? No. But they did die spiritually. They did become separated from God. If we are born again, we will never die. Amen. And that's what he said there in verse 52. If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. He's not talking about the physical, is he? Because we're all going to physically die if we aren't here for the rapture. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But Christ is not talking about physical death. Go to John 11 now, where Jesus Christ was at the tomb of Lazarus. And remember, he held back on purpose to teach his disciples a lesson. And finally he said to them, Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, that's good, Lord. He needs a nap. And finally he said, Lazarus is dead. Why did Jesus not say dead? Because Lazarus wasn't dead. Lazarus was just not in his body. And that's why God uses the word sleep when referring to the death of Christians, because we never die. But they didn't get that, and he had to make it clear. So here he's speaking to Martha in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So notice the Bible says, though he were dead. Every person on this earth who is not saved is dead. And every person who is saved is alive. Because we have eternal life. This is the record God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the Pharisees did not get that, did they? So, back to our passage, Jesus says, you'll never taste of death if you believe in me. They said, art thou greater than our father Abraham? They keep going back to Abraham. Why? Because to them, that's everything. They're Jews. The Old Testament was written by Jewish prophets, and God had made countless promises to the Jewish people. So that for them, that is the main thing, is that they are descendants of Abraham. They are Jews in the flesh. And So they go back to him again and said, are you greater than him? Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? So were Abraham and the prophets dead? No. They're in heaven. But they aren't getting that, are they? Let's see. So verse 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. You know, the Bible teaches that we're all liars. Where does it say that? Well, we just looked at it last week, didn't it? 844, it says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And it says, and when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's our father until we're saved, and he's a liar. And we're all born liars. It starts when we're about, what, 1 month old? And, you know, we've gotten in the habit of crying when we're hungry, but now it's like, well, I'd like to be held, so I'm going to act like I'm hungry so that I can get held. And then we're 2 or 3 years old, and we get caught doing something wrong, and what do? We lie. I was talking to the kids about this the other day. I said, does any parent have to teach his child to lie? To have a lying school, to sit them down and say, let me teach you how to lie. But they all know how to do it. Where'd they get that? From their father, the devil. It's natural for us to lie. And so he says to them, you're a liar. You're all liars. But I know God and you don't. And by the way, the Bible says, if you go to Revelation 21:8, good verse to have on your belt, by the way, when you're witnessing to the lost. It's rare that somebody says they've never lied. Now, it does happen sometimes. I heard today of someone who had a hard time admitting they were a liar. But it rarely happens. But that's why I like Revelation 21:8, because God is listing all the people that are going to go to hell. And when you start the list out, when you show this to an unsaved person, they're just kind of sitting back saying, ah, I'm pretty good. Because it says, verse 8, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. People are like, oh, I'm pretty safe. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm not an idolater. I'm not a whoremonger. I've never killed anybody. But then he has to throw in, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. And everybody knows that they've lied multiple times in their lives, which means we're all deserving of hell or the lake of fire. So back to our passage, 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now they're really confused. Jesus is in his 30s, physically, as a human, and he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They're like, wait a minute, Abraham, you know, in their minds, they don't understand that he's in heaven watching. And they're saying, how could Abraham have rejoiced to see Jesus' day, but they don't understand that we live forever? Just like when he took the disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and who showed up? But Moses and Elijah. Where'd they come from? God allowed them to come down for a little while and fellowship with Jesus there on the Mount, but they weren't dead. They were alive. Just as all people are alive that have trusted Christ. And if you go to Luke 16, we find that even the dead continue to exist after the grave. And this is the one thing that the unsaved are most afraid of, which is why they want to deny its existence, isn't it? That we are created by God, an eternal soul. We can spend that eternity with him, with life, or we can spend that eternity separated from him. But either way, it's eternity. And that's a very sobering truth. Luke 16:22, it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Well, there's Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Notice the second he was buried, he was conscious. and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And you all know the story here. This was not a parable. This was an actual event. He died and he lifted up his eyes. Instantaneous. You and I, as God's children, we're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So the Jews, verse 57, thou art yet not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? So they're not getting it. So Jesus is going to make it very clear, isn't he? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He wasn't using improper grammar. And let's go to Exodus 3 and understand this. Because normally we would say, I was, right? But Jesus wasn't using grammar. He was using a name. Amen? The original name revealed to man of Jehovah at the burning bush here in Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So it's the first time that we have God revealing his name to mankind audibly. And he says to Moses, when Israel asks, you tell them that I am hath sent you. Now in talking about Abraham, seeing Jesus' day and rejoicing, Jesus says, before Abraham was, so they keep going all the way back to Abraham, you know, at least 1,500 years from the time of Christ, saying, we keep talking about Abraham. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. So he says, essentially, I've always been. The only way he can always have been is if he is God. And he's claiming to be God by claiming to be the I am. So look at Isaiah 9:6, and we'll just look at a couple quick scriptures. Some good ones to have under your belt if you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness. Because really, when you're talking to Jehovah's Witness, you just need to focus on the person of Christ. If you can't get past that point, there's no point in arguing about the 144,000 or the kingdom or anything else. Just keep talking about who Jesus is. Because if they won't get that, they're going to hell and there's nothing you can do about it. They have to understand who Jesus is. Isaiah 9:6, most of us know it. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus' name is Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. He is the I Am. When we get to Matthew 1, when Jesus was born, let's turn there. Matthew 1, verse 23. If they would have just listened, they would have known right from the start. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. One of Jesus' names was Emmanuel. That was prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 7. And that name means God with us. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So Jesus is not mincing words here. When he says, before Abraham was, I am, what is he saying? He's saying he is the I am of Exodus that met Moses at the burning bush. And he is therefore claiming to be Jehovah. And by the way, the Jews knew that. because it says in verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him." They knew exactly what he was saying, didn't they? And in their mind, Jesus had just committed blasphemy because they were not going to accept his person. They were not going to believe who he was. And by claiming to be before Abraham and by saying that he is I am, if they're not willing to believe he's the I am, then he, in their minds, just committed blasphemy and deserved to be stoned. So they knew what he was saying. And of course, he worked a miracle and then worked his way through the crowd, and his ministry wasn't finished yet, so he avoided the stoning. So they took, or he took their claims to Abraham as their, you know, father, if you will, their heritage father in the flesh. And now Jesus has taken that and said, "Oh, I know Abraham. And he knows me. And he actually rejoiced to see my day because, yes, I am greater than your father Abraham. I created Abraham because I'm God. Because I, before Abraham was, I am." Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.